You know, I think the first thing that needs to be said is just really taken aback by the support that we got here from our fans, Steeler Nation. You know, continually, man, they show up, man. I just thought it was awesome, man. The environment for a road venue was special. It was special to be a part of. A lot of good things. You know, the splash plays, the block punt. Can't say enough about TJ that hadn't already been said in terms of his ability to impact the game in a variety of ways. It is special. We're not surprised by it, but it's still special.
Mike Tomlin there, his opening statement, part of it at least, after the Steelers beat the Raiders 32-13. A weird one, Doran. A real weird one. When you consider the Steelers had 18 first downs, Raiders had 16. You know, both teams not great on third downs. Both teams ran about the same number of plays. Both teams had darn near the same number of yards. Almost the same exact yards per play. One team turned it over three times. One team didn't. One team blocked a field goal, or a punt, excuse me. The other team didn't. And for me, those obviously were the differences in the game. So, broad strokes, how we feeling today after Steelers 32, Raiders 13?
The Raiders stink.
Terrible.
I mean, that's just kind of where I mean, I know that a win is a win. But, like, this win, it just doesn't do anything for me. Like, if they were to lose, it'd have been horrible. Because this team is that bad. They had so many penalties. They just looked like that they were out of sorts. Like, they just didn't know who they were. Like, they didn't even really want to be there. Like, they're just coasting through the season at this point. They'll probably make a coaching change. You know how all that stuff goes. But, I mean, the Steelers, I mean, I guess they did what they needed to do. And I wasn't impressed at all. I don't think I was impressed. I mean, I was impressed maybe a little bit by Najee.
Yep.
You know, Justin Fields, you know, he did use his legs. And, you know, he scored some touchdowns with his legs. But you should be able to do that stuff against a bad football team like the Raiders. So, I you know, all in all, really, I'm not impressed. And, you know, a win is a win. I get it. But, yeah, whatever.
I don't care that they wound up only giving up 13 points. People are going to get mad about this. I know it already. How Aiden O'Connell leads them down the field to score a touchdown on the first drive, like a hot knife through butter, when you don't have Devontae Adams. They didn't have their top three wide receivers.
Right.
You've got one threat, and that's Brock Bowers. The running back was out. I don't care that this seems to be something that continues to happen to them, and then they generally settle in. That's who they are now. And you play good teams, and you're just going to give them 7 points right off the bat, that's going to bite you in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't in this game because the Raiders stink. But that just can't happen. So that irritated me.
Yeah.
The first half was bad. They played bad football in the first half. You're up 5 points against that team, and it's basically a home game, as Mike Tomlin talked about to start the show there. Didn't really inspire much confidence. And then even the second half, it just doesn't feel like the final score was indicative of the way the game was played.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned Najee Harris. That can't get swept under the rug. His 38-yard touchdown run was the best run of his career, and maybe that 15-yard run where he carried the entire Raiders defense might have been the second best run of his career. And I wonder, Doran, he would not go this far in his post-game press conference. I wonder if Jalen Warren being back and healthy is what sparked this guy.
You're exactly right.
Bang.
Exactly right. We talked about it last week. Najee Harris is a 50-50 guy, and I know that it wasn't a 50-50 split, but the fact that he knew that there was somebody that he's going to share reps with, that's whenever he's usually his best. Whenever he's asked to be the guy, he's not at his best. He can't carry that load on his shoulders for some reason, and that's fine. That's fine, but I am absolutely with you. I was thinking about that the whole entire game. He knew that Jalen Warren was relatively healthy, was going to play in this game probably a lot, but didn't really need to, you know, as Najee was, you know, picking up everything. But I think he understood that, all right, like, if I don't bust my hump, if I don't have one of my better performances, this is kind of where the tides will turn, where they'll start incorporating Jalen even more, not even just this week, but as the season does go on. And he kind of halted that throughout this game. And, that definitely pushed him. That definitely gave him that that extra oomph to play the way he did.
Any doubt that was the best run of his career, the 38-yarder?
That was unbelievable.
I've seen the still shot of him, like, caught in the wash. I can't believe he scored.
Right.
I cannot believe he scored. And then the breakaway speed down the sideline?
Yep.
If Najee Harris played like this more often than not, no one would ever say not worth the pick in the first round.
Yep.
He would have had the fifth-year option picked up. Yep. He'd be a Steeler for life, but it's too few and far between. I don't want to do that to Najee. I did want to get that out there. He played really well. You need him to play like this. You need to be able to run the ball like this moving forward. You have to. This is how you're designed. This is the way you want to win football games. And I thought Justin Fields' legs had a lot to do with it, too. This was the most active he's been in the running game. Design stuff, scrambles. A couple of times we saw him, I think, get close to warp speed in the middle of the field where maybe a move or two or a missed tackle he could have taken the thing the distance. Justin Fields, and we'll get into him more full form at 7 o'clock. That's pretty much been the way this thing goes. 7 o'clock. Hey, who should start a quarterback next week? 412-928-9370. I thought if you want to go with Russell Wilson, he made enough bonehead plays in this game for you to make a legitimate argument you could go with Russell Wilson. I thought his legs in particular, he showed enough, and he got outside the pocket and made some throws too, that you could say, oh, you need to keep going with Fields. It's the perfect Rorschach test of a football game. Whatever you wanted to see, you saw it in this game from Justin Fields, good or bad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think it was like manufactured for him to run like he did, because you would think that, and we were anticipating this past week, all right, well, Justin Fields is going to run more because Russell Wilson is going to be the number two, so they'll feel comfortable with him and putting him in harm's way a little bit more because they know they can revert to Russell. But the runs that he did have weren't really, you know, maybe there were some, but they were more improvised on his behalf.
One of them looked like a just full-on broken play, and he, see ya.
Yeah. That makes you wonder why he hasn't done that even more before. Like, he should do that every single game.
Yes, that's the biggest weapon he's got, and it's darn near impossible to stop because he's the best athlete on the field, and he's big and strong.
Mm-hmm.
I do have legitimate concerns, especially now with the Zach Frazier injury, and we'll find out more likely tomorrow on how long he's going to be out, with how Russell Wilson's going to be able to stand back there and make plays. There was one scramble from Fields where, did you see Broderick Jones? What in the world is he doing?
He was doing anything. Was it that one?
Yeah, the ball gets snapped. He meanders forward a yard and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then he backs up because he thinks it might be a pass. And he doesn't want to be downfield. And I've never seen anything like that. Did he mistime the snap count? That's my best guess on it. I think that's what happened, right? Because he stands up. It's like, my man, what the hell is going on? So I do have concerns about this offensive line. They did run the ball better. They did run the ball better, a lot better. And Najee Harris had a lot to do with that. Najee Harris credited his teammates after the game, saying it takes all 11. Pat Freiermuth had a great block on the 38-yard run. And then Najee made that corner miss, which we were talking about before the show. So it takes all 11 to be able to run the ball effectively. I worry about Russ and the mobility and how many drives are going to get stymied by him having pressure in his face darn near right away, because we saw a lot of that with Justin Fields.
The thing about Russ, though, where you can see how it could work is his ability to check into different protections, to see certain fronts, to understand where the pressure's coming from, and to get the ball out of his hands quicker. Like, what Justin Fields does with his legs, Russell Wilson can do with getting the ball out quick, and not just getting it out quick and getting erratic with it, but getting it out into the right spot where it doesn't get intercepted. That's the only way where it's like, okay, like it might look okay.
To that point, which is, I think, a very good one, I don't think we've seen the Steelers' offense this year at any point for a full game look as good as it did in two of those final three games last year with Mason Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Russell Wilson can change protections, can go through his progressions, can stand back there and survey things in a way that Fields can't. And I think that's what Rudolph did. He just got the ball where it was supposed to go, and look what happened.
Yep.
So I think there's big-time validity in what you say. Not that you need me to rubber stamp it, but yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. We'll get into all the quarterback stuff coming up at 7 o'clock. Don't look now, and it's not a huge difference, and it's not a big sample size, but the Steelers, through six games last year, were averaging 17.2 points per game, had eight offensive touchdowns. Oh, my God. Mm. Eight touchdowns through six games. This year, the Steelers have scored 20.7 points per game, 11 offensive touchdowns. So not great, but we talked about it before the year. If they get up in that 21, 22 points per game range, they could win some games based on how good the defense is. So it's not worlds better, but we're talking about 4 points better through six games. Okay, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Not great. Not perfect by any measure. And again, it looked bad at times, particularly in the first half of this football game. But they are making strides offensively, and I think it's important to point that out. How impressive was this Steelers victory? 412-928-9370. And also don't look now, Steelers, before Buffalo plays tonight, have the best point differential in the AFC. When they were 11-0 in the COVID season, everyone kept saying, look at that point differential, though. They're not outscoring teams enough. For an 11-0 team, this point differential leaves you worried. And those people wound up being prescient. Now they get the second best point differential in the AFC. I don't know what it means. Just pointing that out. Buffalo will overtake them tonight, but probably going to be second best in the AFC after tonight. Not a bad place to be. How impressive was the win? How impressive is this football team? Are you buying in, or was it just, hey, they beat the Raiders? Because I will tell people, the Raiders beat the Browns, and somehow, my God, this team beat the Ravens. How the hell did this team go on the road and beat the Ravens? It's insane. So your thoughts on the Steelers' victory. We want to open it up for you. Give us a ring. 412-928-9370. Already getting texts. Crowley, you're being too negative. Doran, you're being too negative after a win. All right, well, we'll cede the floor to you a little bit here. 412-928-9370. We'll get to the injury report a little bit later on in the hour. You can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Texter, you bitch when they lose, you bitch when they win, you're just a miserable. Well, you can fill in the blank there. Thank you for listening, and good morning, sir. Thank you for texting us and reaching out to this fine radio program. You could also do that on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. How do you feel about that Steelers victory? 412-928-9370. Here's a good text, Norm. Morning, guys. No excuses but facts. The Steelers are riddled with injuries, and they got gifts and penalties from the Raiders, but a win is a win. Steelers are banged up.
Yep.
But so are the Raiders.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. That's the National Football League. You're not going to play a team that's fully healthy the rest of the season. It just doesn't work that way. But, yeah, they are banged up, and they got a 19-point win, so I'm not saying you shouldn't be happy today. But we are in the business of evaluating, and I'm not going to walk out of that game going, okay, they got everything figured out.
Right, they figured it out from, you know, the Cowboys game. Like, they may be on defense a little bit, but you're going against a team that is, like, I mean, a JV team.
Right.
Like, you did on defense. I mean, there's communication issues that you didn't really see that, but, I mean, it's easy to not have communication issues whenever you're playing against practice squad guys, a receiver. So, I'm just, you know, and not to slight anybody, clearly. But, you know, this was not that gauge. Now, maybe this week on primetime with Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson and, you know, I mean, I don't know what their offense is going to look like. They're going to have – we'll break that down later in the week. But, you know, they have a new offensive coordinator, a guy that's going to be calling plays, has called plays a bunch of times in the league. But, it's Aaron Rodgers. So, it probably – if you do it against him, I don't care what their situation is, I think that you'll be a better barometer.
Yeah, because Joe Flacco carved you up.
Yes.
And so if Joe Flacco can carve you up, then you would think even the, you know, whittled husk of Aaron Rodgers could do that.
Yes.
Whittled's not the right word, but you get what I'm saying. TJ Watt, man, what are you doing, dude? No sacks. Jeez. God, was he good.
Jeez.
So the Raiders got screwed, I thought. And then right after they get screwed by the officials, they run a play. And I think they scored. But they hurry up to the line, don't review it, and then TJ Watt sheds his defender, Patrick Queen comes flying in, forces the running back to the outside. Watt, all in one motion, dips under his defender, punches the football. I saw Dan Orlovsky tweet that T.J. Watt should be in the MVP conversation.
Yes.
I think a legit argument could be made. Justin Jefferson, probably. But as far as non-quarterbacks, you can make the argument he's the best player in football.
Yes.
T.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to take it for granted. Like, Tomlin, twice after the game, first in his opening soliloquy, talked about T.J. Watt. We're not surprised by it, but we want to appreciate it. And then Dulac followed up, and Tomlin did the whole, again, we're not surprised by it, blah, blah, blah. I love whenever he hits someone with an again.
Again.
That's like per your last email.
Yes. I already said this, so it's a dumb question now.
Yes. But I think T.J. Watt deserves all the credit in the world. And just because you know how good he is and we get to watch him every single weekend and we're fortunate enough to see that, doesn't mean we shouldn't spend a lot of time talking about that guy because he's unbelievable. Deshaun Elliott, what a signing this offseason. Patrick Queen, I think, had his best game as a Steeler with 13 tackles, one TFL. Like I just said, had a big hand in that play where T.J. Watt forced the fumble. I also think Dante Jackson has been very good for the Steelers.
Very good. Pleasant surprise.
Yes.
Very pleasant surprise.
And I think Beanie Bishop had a bounce back game.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't perfect, but look, he needed to be good in this game. They don't have a lot of good eligibles, Doran. And he had a tackle for loss, which I thought was impressive, and he knocked the ball away. So a step in the right direction for him. 412-928-9370. How you feeling after Steelers 32, Raiders 13? Tony in Uniontown first up today. Tony!
What's happening?
What's up, Tony?
Nothing much. I'm kind of in between. I'm a little more positive than you guys feel about it, but I'm not as positive as the guy saying you're Debbie Downers. They got it done. They got the win. They avoided a Tomlin signature loss in Vegas. You know, they love to lose those games. I don't think Fields did enough to stay quarterback, but I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent about it. I'd like to see the defense play a little better as well.
Thank you for the call, Tony.
Like I'm not trying to be negative about the game because a win is a win. I know how hard wins are in the NFL, like especially on the road. But did we really learn anything this game? Like that's kind of where I'm at.
I don't think so.
So like I mean, if you want to call in and think that we're being negative, or you're then tell us why that we shouldn't be negative. Like tell me what you saw that makes you feel really good about this team going into this week. What did you see that you're just like, oh, that was different than last game? That was different than what we've seen throughout this portion of the season? Because I didn't see anything.
Najee and Patrick Queen, to me, were the takeaways.
Patrick Queen, yes.
In terms of doing stuff they hadn't yet done this year. But apart from that, well, again, I'm taking nothing away from TJ, but that's what you're going to get from TJ Watt.
Right.
Did we fix the Pickens situation?
Exactly.
I don't think. I think that's going to continue to bubble up because he caught three passes, one of which they clearly wanted to get him the ball in garbage time so that his stat line looked better, so that he could walk out of the game with a little positive feeling. Still, you've gone six games, and you have one touchdown from a wide receiver or running back, Doran. So you needed to win. We're never going to scoff at a dub, but as far as learning things, as far as stuff that you can take forward with you, I'm with you, Doran. Not a lot. Survive, advance, you lose, you're 3-3. That's one of the worst teams in football. We'd be crushing them today. So they avoided that.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, I'm not feeling super rosy about it. Jim in Monroeville. Hello, Jim.
Thank you for taking my call this morning.
You got it, Jim.
Yeah, great points from earlier. I guess you mentioned the points per game, which obviously is not much better than last year, but 3 points in an average for the NFL is pretty good. I like where...
Phone sucks. Sorry, Jim.
Yeah, I actually wanted to hear what you
have
to
say.
Me too. Because like I'm real curious right now, Crowley. Like I want people to call in and say, and if you're feeling really positive, which you should feel positive, but if you're feeling like, oh, yeah, like that was a significant win, I want to know why.
Agreed. 412-928-9370. Make your case on why this was a significant win, apart from it just being a win. Now, I said coming into the year, like we do a positive radio show. People, oh, you guys are so negative. Not compared to other sports talk radio. Not really. Like, when the team wins, we're generally happy about that. Like, that's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the first three wins, I said, we're not going to do the thing where we bitch about the wins. Then you lose two straight, and you needed to take care of business against Las Vegas, but I'm not going to do the over-the-moon happy thing when they beat their FCS opponent on the schedule.
Right.
Right? Like,
yes.
Like, oh, what did we learn against Youngstown State or, I don't know, name an FCS school.
Right.
North Dakota. Like, you did what you had to do. Couple of positives. You bank it. You move on. We're banking calls, too. Anthony in Oakland, DK South Hills, bunch of people lined up, 412-928-9370. We'd love to talk to you. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We will get back to the phone lines in the next segment. We've also got the injury report. That's all on the way. Someone tweeted in about the Steelers' poor third down numbers, Doran. I think they were 4 of 13, something like that. So I've been charting them now during the break. I didn't get all the way through, but here's the theme. Here's why they were bad on third down. Not tough to figure this one out. First third down was third and one. They converted it. It's third and one, manageable. Next one, third and 15. Then third and 12. Then a third and three, they converted it. Then third and 10. Then third and 11, which they converted, 20-yard pass to Calvin Austin. Then a third and 28.
Mm.
Bad play call led to that one, the goofy thing where Fields wound up. They counted that as a sack, the whole, yeah. Third and four, penalty, roughing the passer. Third and two, didn't convert. Third and 15. Way too many long third downs.
Right.
Like, that's first and second down issue more than it's third down issue. When you're at third and 12, third and 10, third and eight or longer, you're going to have a tough time converting. That's just the reality. 412-928-9370. We'll go to the phones in a second. First, the injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They've got your back. Not your wallet. Zach Frazier hurt in the game. Ankle injury. And that is no good. You cannot afford to lose any offensive lineman at this point. I think he's probably been their best offensive lineman because he's been healthy the entire season and he's played well. They've had some snap issues, not all on him. They can ill afford to be without that guy, especially the running game finally picks up. You hope it's not a high ankle. Now, he did walk off the field. I don't know. We'll find out more tomorrow.
Yeah, you can't afford it. So, like, you can live with losing a guard. You can live with almost losing a tackle to some point. But losing your center that's been consistent is going to be tough. And, you know, you want to hope that it's maybe a game or two and not long term. But it's hard to lose a center whenever you finally kind of got on the same page with your quarterback.
Right.
And, you know, the fumbling issues and things of that nature. But Zach Frazier has just been such a great staple for this offensive line and really this offense this year that you really hope and pray that it's something that you can get figured out soon, because that's no good.
No, you're right about the snapping thing, dude.
Right.
Like, they hadn't happened in 2 weeks. Hadn't happened since Indy. And now you're going to be using a new center, and it's not Nate Herbig, who was going to be your backup center coming into the year, and he's obviously out for the season. They have been decimated by offensive line injuries this season. Absolutely decimated. Patrick Queen got nicked up. He said after the game that he couldn't get off the field, and so he said, screw it, I'm going to suck it up. And then the next play is the TJ Watt fumble that Patrick Queen had a lot to do with.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he was hurt, still shot the gap, forced the play to the outside, TJ punches the thing out. So kudos to him.
Yes.
That's a man kind of play right there. And he was good. And then Jaylen Warren comes back from injury, and he returns the first kickoff. It was a positive return. I think he's going to be a big factor in that, especially without Cordarrelle Patterson. And they didn't use him a ton, but you and I talked about it earlier. He comes back from injury, helps spur on Najee Harris,
yes,
who knows he can now look over his shoulder. Uh-oh, if I don't play well, that guy's going to get the carries.
Yeah, the mental aspect of it definitely aided well in Najee Harris's game, in our opinion. I think that definitely pushed him to have the type of game that he did, you just want to see the consistency out of Najee moving forward.
Yes. Oh, if you can get that.
Yeah, you're good.
More often than not, your running game is going to be really good. Yeah. That's the injury report brought to you by Shedorovich, Shedorovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Let's head back to the phones, Doran, at 412-928-9370. One of our favorites, one of the best, Anthony in Oakland. Good morning, Anthony.
Thank you. Look, fellas, the only common denominator with these slow starts has been Mike Tomlin. Let's be very clear here. We've gone through two offensive coordinators, and the slow starts persist. I mean, they went on a historic slow start. It was 2 years where they didn't even score a touchdown in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And that's how you leave. Let's be clear. Yes, the Raiders are not very good, but they did beat Baltimore in Baltimore. But Dallas is horrible.
Yeah. Dallas got run yesterday.
Yes. There's no difference between the Dallas you saw yesterday get destroyed. Should have been the Steelers should have destroyed them also. But when you're inept on offense because of whatever, but my point is the coach, you leave them around where a fumble you don't get or a guy who has a sprained testicles can score a touchdown on you. I mean,
I know you're not trying to be funny.
Hanging around.
Anthony, to your point, so the Raiders' first 10 plays, they got 70 yards and a touchdown. The following 24 plays, they got 65 yards. So a slow start defensively, too. And then the Steelers have played 12, and Caboli typed it out this way, 12 first half quarters. They scored 3 touchdowns over that span.
Yeah. So, but look, defensively, they got to get a pass because, you know, I listen to the shows, Alex Highsmith, they kind of downplayed his loss. It's been a big loss.
No doubt.
It's hurt them in a lot of different ways. Some of those running plays that the Raiders were doing, they were going right at the bad moon rising. Look, guys, we got to get it together. A win's a win. Now you got the Jets coming in here, but remember, Rodgers is a good quarterback, and he's in the Prescott level, and that hurts him.
Thank you for the call, Jeff. Anthony, as always, buddy. The slow starts,
yeah,
it's going to kill him. It's going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
You play the Chiefs, it's not going to be a 7-0 lead. You play the Ravens, it's not going to be a 7-0 lead. Indianapolis, it's 17-0 before you feel like your feet are even under you in Indianapolis. And that's not a great football team. I don't think Indianapolis is a terrible football team, but that's not a great football team. The team they played yesterday is horrific. And you start spotting leads to really good teams when you're built the way that they're built. You're not going to come back. You're not going to come back. Texter, that pitch play they keep trying to run, they got to get rid of that. I hate it too, but they did run the fake pitch on, first and goal from the 7-yard line with Justin Fields and... That's beautiful.
Yeah, you only need to run it once, though. You don't need to run it 5 times. What, they ran it 5 times?
Right.
They ran that pitch play.
You know what, Doran? It's on tape now. Yeah. Teams know you like to pitch. You can run a fake pitch now without having to actually pitch it.
Right.
Now, Najee Harris did score that touchdown 38. Was that a pitch? I'm trying to remember.
I think so. Yes, I think so.
So it ain't going anywhere, probably.
Nope.
All right, Pet Fest 24 presented by Subaru is back. It's back October 27th, Rockwell Park in the East End. Event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa. Stop by any Subaru dealer for complimentary tickets. For more information, please go to 937thefan.com. It is an awesome event. All right, coming up next, Pitt victorious. They're 6-0. They move up in the AP poll. We'll get into that. We'll take some more of your calls on the Steelers and then head first into the quarterback conversation at 7.
The kick is on its way. It's long enough.
Cheat code. He drilled it.
Unbelievable effort by Ben Sauls. And that is a 58-yard personal record for the young man from Tip City, Ohio. 58-yard field goal. 40-yard field goal attempt to try to give Cal a one-point lead with 1:54 to go. High snap down. The kick is on its way. The kick is a line drive.
Missed it.
No good.
Missed it.
No good.
Wow. Kickers. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. In 10 minutes, we have the quarterback discussion about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Justin Fields, Russell Wilson. There can only be one. But Doran, Pitt, 17-15, get it done against Cal. Your kicker, good. 58 yards with room to spare. Their kicker from here, no offense to him, no good. Was the whole operation there was ugly. But it was more about, more than just about, I should say, the kicking game.
Mm-hmm.
That was a gritty performance for Pitt to get it done without their offense clicking on all cylinders, and now here they are at 6-0.
Yeah, I didn't know, and I talked about this on the pregame show, like how you wanted to attack their offense and attack Mendoza, their quarterback. Like, did you want to send pressure? Because on the back end, sometimes that their communication, Pitt's communication on the back end isn't great sometimes. They'll turn some big plays loose, and I was like, you know, if you do blitz, you got to be sound on the back end, and you know, they mixed it up. They got to the quarterback. They got the sacks that they've been needing to get in the past couple games. And, you know, whenever you can beat teams multiple ways, you have a good football team. And yesterday, look, it's going to get harder. And I think this Pitt team knew that it was going to get harder as the games go on, especially in ACC play. And, you know, you knew that your offense was going to have a game like we saw on Saturday. Like, it wasn't going to be high-powered every single game this year. And Eli Holstein probably was going to have a bad game. You know, I mean, he's a young player. It's going to happen. But whenever things like that do happen, you have to anticipate that and understand that. But ask other people and other players and other units to step up. And that's what happened. That's how you know you have a good football team. Your defense stepped up, was just lights out, really, in that football game. And, you know, that's very promising moving forward. This offense will find it. I don't think that Pitt fans should be worried at all.
Yeah.
They'll get right back to where they were, you know, for the first, of what, 4 or 5 games of the season. So, you know, you have a cheat code, as you heard me say that on the broadcast there, in Ben Sauls. So you get across the 50, you're feeling comfortable with where his range is. And, you know, your defense is just going to get better and better. Confidence is a crazy thing in sports.
No doubt.
Confidence is a crazy thing, even in college football more than anything, because you're dealing with young men. You know, they feed off of that stuff, and they believe. This team believes in each other. They believe that they're a good football team. And, you know, it was a tight win, and, you know, they were gifted that obvious missed field goal by Coe at the end. But, you know, good teams find ways to win, and that's what they did.
Yeah, I think they'd have won anyway.
Yeah.
Because of Sauls, because I don't think Holstein would have had a bad drive. I think he would have put the rest of it behind him and had a good drive. Mm-hmm. I think Pitt wins the game either way. How about this for a Twitter poll? You think this might get some interaction, Norm? Better football team, Pitt or Penn State? PJ Fitzpatrick, Home Improvement, TrustPJ.com. That'll be our Twitter poll. We knew Narduzzi's defense would get better, because that's what he does. Also, you mentioned confidence. If Pitt loses to Cincinnati, that first Power 5 game, Power 4 game, I think they might be 3-3 right now. You lose that game, you don't have the confidence. Maybe you don't have the confidence to come back against West Virginia. Maybe you don't have the confidence to pull out a tight one here. Lesser teams, mentally weak teams, you're not winning all three of these games.
No.
And they have. And not only do they have the talent, they also have the belief, and that's massive. I thought Narduzzi, I mean, he deserves so much credit for what's happened this year. I think he was the difference in the game, too. Incredibly aggressive on 2 fourth downs. Incredibly aggressive.
And he took the ball to start the game,
yes,
too. Which, this is the second time.
That's a mindset.
Yeah, second time in a while. You know, I don't even think he did last year or the year before ever would take the ball. So, he's changed his stripes a little bit.
No doubt. And if they don't convert on those 2 fourth downs, it might be a different outcome in the game. I mean, the biggest offensive play, Desmond Reed's 72-yard run, happened on those 4th downs. So all credit in the world really does go to Pat Narduzzi. And now, Pitt fans, you get to sit there and watch football this weekend knowing nothing bad can happen to your team. And you'll see Syracuse, what, Thursday night?
Yep.
The following week.
Good football team, too.
Weird thing to say, but true.
Mm-hmm. Good quarterback.
Kyle McCord.
That's what happens.
Yes, it is.
You have a pretty good quarterback, you'll have a chance.
Yep, no doubt. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, coming up next, Justin Fields did enough to win the game, did enough with his legs to make you go, oh, maybe he should be the guy moving forward, or did he? Who starts against the Jets? Did you see enough from Fields to think he should hold on to the job? 412-928-9370. We'd love your calls on this. We'll state our cases when we come back. Best caller, how about this? Doran wins two tickets to see Dave Matthews Band on November 15th at PPG Paints Arena. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.